Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
So often, we don't have a position of strength in our life because we don't have a plan. And you guys all know, by nature, I'm kind of a ready, fire, aim guy, okay? But it isn't without a plan. See, what I see, it's interesting. I was talking to a financial advisor last week, and he said, you know, everybody's predicting a recession that's on its way that is bound to hit America. And I'm like, and the first thing that hits me isn't, oh, my gosh, I better shore things up. Oh, my gosh, what are we going to do? It's, oh, my gosh, what kind of opportunity is this to bring Jesus into people's lives? See, that's how I look at things, okay? So that's why the ready, fire, aim works. But the plan is important because the average American earns about $32,000 a year, or give or take a few dollars, $2,700 bucks a month. Okay, the average household is $46,000 a year. Okay, the average American has over almost $16,500 of just credit card debt. So when you look at it, it's like, okay, I don't know what kind of plan's going to work for that. You know, where we're at right now, man, Thanksgiving is a day for family and for eating and taking a nap, but now we can't even take a nap on Thanksgiving afternoon because the store's all open at 2 o'clock. It's like this Black Friday thing like crept into Thanksgiving, which is an interesting little scenario that we ought to take note of and be able to notice. But then so it's Friday and it's Saturday and it's Sunday, and I'm appreciative of it because on Friday I get a call from a pastor friend of mine in Amarillo who said that he got a contractor called him, and they sell LED walls to churches and businesses, and they were selling them for about half price. So we bought two LED walls, one for Sepulpa and one for Skytook, that's going to be installed in the next month or so. So I'm down with getting good deals, okay? And I don't mind the day after Thanksgiving being the day those deals come. But the bottom line is this, is that everything now happens, and there's very little currency. There's very little in God we trust that's being passed now. It's all managed digitally. It's all on a credit card. It's all in those kind of accounts. And I believe that stuff can get away from us. So we have to have a plan. And what if your financial strength, what if it's not just about the math? It's not just about your income. It's not just about how much debt that you have right now. What if it's more than that? What if it's what you put first in your life? What if that's what matters? See, and I believe that goes beyond the math. I mean, it works in your marriage. It works with your kids. Man, the idea of this is that with God, it's not just about the tithe. We focus in on it being 10%. And I think literally that's true, but the spirit of it is, it's the first 10%. Then what I'm saying isn't, God, here, I'm lopping off 10% and giving it to you. That kind of feels like dues or tax or a tax or something we owe. But so this with the tithe, it's God, I'm putting you first. See, that's the whole idea of the tithe. And I believe what's first place in our life is what really matters. The money's not the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. It's simple. It's a simple statement. Stop worrying about your money. That's where everything's got to start. Everything's got to start with you not worrying about how you're gonna have Christmas for your kids. You not worrying about keeping up with what other parents are doing for their kids. I'm telling you, we have to stop worrying. God has built us to be stewards. See, understand that the vast riches of the world, that God didn't make the world so rich for him. He did it for us. See, understand, everything on this earth, every precious metal, every mineral, every bit of wealth, all the cattle, everything, God put it on this earth for us, for you and I. So he made us to be stewards. We're in his image. So he made us to be stewards of his will on this earth. See, and really the only place we hear about stewardship is in the church. We don't hear about stewardship on the job or in the media or prognosticators. But see, we're truly stewards of what's God's on this earth. That's who we are. See, if you turn your Bibles to Matthew, the sixth chapter, Matthew 6, and please write these scriptures down, take notes, open your Bible, underline things in your Bible today, because I'll tell you, it's God's will for you to leave here financially strong today. And you know, I know you don't want to, you're like, well, is the church really the place to talk about money? Absolutely. Because, man, Google a pair of boots or Google Google an outfit or whatever it is. I'm telling you, on your social media feed, when you open it up the next time, there's going to be ads pertaining what you Googled. So, yeah, it is about the money. But see, we need to talk about that here. See, I don't want to make any bones about it. I believe that God's word says that God gives us the power to gain wealth. But it doesn't stop there. It's to establish his covenant. See, wealth with God is all about covenant. See, wealth in your marriage, it's all about covenant. I'll tell you, I was on staff at a church in Southern California before we moved back to Tulsa, and I learned so much about what not to do in ministry. But one thing that I heard was there was a man who was had a position in the church, and he strayed from his wife and went into a strange relationship and got back with his wife, but lost, I mean, all of his wealth, he lost it. And it's interesting because, man, what comes with adultery is poverty. And see, we look at those things, how things line up. And what's interesting is where we are today, everything in the world is about you having enough money and finding the deals. And man, there's people anxious on the internet trying to find deals and get outfits and get toys for their kids and grandkids and every kid. And I'm telling you, that's not bad. Unless we leave out God's promise, unless we don't have a plan. No one can serve two masters. For either you hate the one and you love the other, or you're loyal to one and you despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. It's interesting. Because what mammon is the spirit of the world. And that's naturally with what's on your money. What's on our money is mammon, the spirit of the world. When you give, when you tithe, it breaks the power of mammon off our money. So when you go into a situation and you're thinking, okay, man, I'm supposed to tithe, that means people in the world that don't have to tithe, they're working from 100%. I'm only working from 90%. No, that's not how this works. I would rather have 90% that's blessed than 100% that's cursed. And see, and that's what the Bible says. It says we're cursed with a curse, that the spirit of mammon's on our money, it can be broken. Therefore, I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to put in your body, or what you're going to put on. Is not life more than food and your body more than clothing? Let's pick up on verse 31 here. Therefore, don't worry saying. See, that's interesting. Couple that word saying, couple it with don't worry. Don't worry saying. When that temptation to worry hits your mind, keep your mouth shut. Man, reject that worrisome or that anxious thought. Don't worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear for after? All these things the Gentiles seek. See, the rat race, everything that everybody in the world is dealing with, we deal with it too, and God knows it. Because the Bible even says, after all these things that Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you, it doesn't say that you want these things, it says that you need these things. But verse 33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Notice that it says, but seek. See, when we use that term but, everything that's said prior to that, you erase it. And what's pertinent is what comes after that. So everything the Gentiles seek, we're not seeking it the way they are. Your Father in heaven knows you have need of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And it doesn't say you're going to live poor and you're going to honor God. It says all these things will be added unto you. See, everything in my life, everything I value, I truly value has come to me. None of it have I had to come out and get it. Man, every relationship that I have, my marriage, my children, my the covenant friends of dozens of people that are in this room, it's all come to me. Man, I can't tell you where people came from. I just know they popped up in my life. Man, our house, it came to me. Our vehicles, they come to us. See, that's how this works. And that's, I believe, God's plan. Because it's like this. There's three elements that go with wealth. Number one is purpose. You want wealth in your life, here's the pattern that you have to use. Purpose. Fulfillment. Then wealth. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? If you're thinking, man, you're going to gain the whole world, that's a wealthy man. But you know what? That man's bankrupt and morally broke because he lost his soul. See, it's purpose, fulfillment, wealth. That's the pattern. That's the order. There are three things, I believe, that are keys to financial strength. And what you're not going to hear is how much money you make. What you're not going to hear is how you invest your money. What you're not going to hear is where you put your money. What you're not going to hear is what time of the month you buy things or what time of the year you buy things. I don't have any of that stuff. I'm telling you, this has taken almost a month to build this message. This is God-inspired for every person in this room, no matter where you are financially right now, to have financial strength in your life immediately. Are you ready for that? Number one is, where do you want to be? See, I think people never get to a place of fulfillment because they don't know what that is. Where do you want to be? See, there's some of you guys in here that want to be in a place where there might be a neighboring building of this church, man, that it's on your heart for us to purchase that building. Well, you know what? That's where you want to be then. See, for me, it might be to grow the church and the programs. See, the transition that's happening right now in our church, there's a transition. And I believe it all started when the church became 25 years old. I became 60 years old. Sandy and I have been pastoring the church for this long. That here's the transition. We've gone personally as leaders in the church from the motto of help people win to the motto of to help people win. See, it's real simple. It's real subtle, but it's a huge step. Where do you want to be? There are two things in your life that you can control. We're all control freaks. Get over it. There's two things in our lives we can truly control. Number one is the plan. I can control the plan for my life. The plan for my life was to be here today. I had to walk 50 feet from the door of my house to the door of my truck. The wind was blowing so hard it blew my hair hat off. But you know what? I worked the plan and I ended up here. See, I believe what church is designed to do, okay? And this is probably a series in the coming up year. What church is designed to do is create a clear path from where you are to where you want to be. Let me rephrase that. A direct path. See, I think too much happens in our life and it's indirect. It's what happens to us. It's not what we do with what happens to us. See, that's the mark of our character. The mark of our character isn't that, let me tell you, you might be here today and you might have stumbled. You might have fallen. Well, let me tell you what my motto is for this coming year. Get up and go fight. We got to get up. And that's the people that we have to be. So number one is, where do you want to be? God has an incredible plan for our lives. We have to find that plan and then not deviate from it. See, the two things is we have to that we can control is the plan and its execution. And let me tell you, the plan is simple. The execution's imperative. We have to execute the plan. If we deviate, if we fumble, if we throw a pick, if we drop the ball, if we step get out of line, we've got to get back in line. We've got to pick the ball back up. We've got to recover the fumble, and we've got to get back in the race. See, Jesus said this. It was real simple. In Mark 11, verse 22, he said, you got to have the faith of God. You got to have the God kind of faith. For assuredly I say unto you, verse 23, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and doesn't receive any doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. What you see underlined on that screen back there, underline that in your Bible. See, when we look at verse 23, that you believe that those things that he says will be done, you'll have whatever you say. This is the simple formula of faith. That's essentially what this is. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you have them. See, it's not determined by your income. It's not determined by your education, your situation in life. Man, the bottom line is, the heart of Jesus is, yeah, go and sin no more. Your sins be forgiven you. So be it as of unto your faith. Man, that's the heart of God. That's how God's going to respond to our fragility, to our failures, to our missteps. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you don't forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. See, finish this phrase. And let me tell you, you don't have to stick with this through life. My plan, the plan for my life, the plan is blank. Just fill in the blank today. Go out on a limb and fill in the blank. I'll tell you what's interesting. We get up here and we invite, we recruit, we do everything we can do to give you an opportunity to wake up and say, listen, I want the training and development in my life. I'm going to take a year of it. I'll be a Guts intern. Let me tell you, the Guts internship is world renowned. Every church in the country knows about this internship. Every pastor I talk to, it's like, I'll say, hey, what can I do for you? How can I help you? Man, help us with our internship. See, because most churches have them. They just don't have what we have. And see, we've caught lightning in a bottle, and I know it. See, but the idea as your pastor isn't to get 800 people in the internship. No, not at all. I'm great with 25. I'm great with 30. But the idea is to get that application in your hand. See, I think about it. I didn't want to go to Bible school. It was the worst idea in the world. I thought, no, there's no way that whole thing is a crutch. No, it's pitiful. Look at those people. There's no way. I don't fit in. I'm out on that. And the guy, and you know what? The pastor led me to the Lord, just said, hey, Bill, would you just go pick up an application? I'm like, yeah, I'll pick up an application. I'm going to be wasting my time. But I'll do it because you asked me to. I went and picked up an application. Guess what? God started moving in my life. God started working in my life. If I hadn't have picked up that application, that simple, let me tell you, the man of God spoke in my life, the simple obedience to me picking up that application, I picked it up, I filled it out, I wasn't going to Bible school, I turned it in, I went through the application process and the interview. At the end of a 10-minute interview, the guy said, I'm sorry, you seem like a sincere young man, but you haven't been a Christian long enough, I reject your application. As soon as he said the word reject, I determined in my heart I was going. So you say, Pastor, why'd you go to Bible school? God didn't tell me. There wasn't a light in my bedroom. My mirror didn't fog and God said, go. No, I went because they told me I couldn't. And that's that simple. But let me just tell you, if I hadn't have picked up that application, God wouldn't have begun to work in my life. Man, I fought for the purpose of my life. I fought for fulfillment in my life. And I'm telling you, ever since that day that I picked up that application, I have been a wealthy man. Man, there were years that I coached football. The first year I coached football, I made $17,000. And Sandy and I went on two great trips that year. Man, I went to work at a church in Southern California, and they paid me less than we agreed they were going to pay me. I never met with the business office. I didn't go and complain about not making enough money. Why? It doesn't matter how much money you make. What determines your wealth is just simple obedience. Man, you want financial strength? Just be obedient to God's promise. That's as simple as it is. My plan is to help people win. The execution, which is more important even than the plan. God's plan's simple. It's great. But your execution is what you're responsible for now. And it's all dependent upon number two. And number two is, what do you believe? So it goes from where do you want to go to what do you believe? And this is where it becomes so simple. Do you believe God's promises are for you? Do you believe they are? Because let me tell you, that factors into how you fill in the blank from that question, that statement, my plan is, the plan is blank. The plan for me, I'll just tell you, is to change the world. That's the objective. The plan is to build so many powerful leaders that the world has to change because of the leadership that comes out of this church. That's all it is. It's grandiose. Yeah, it's audacious. It's crazy. But do you believe that God has a plan for you and he will or he can resource that plan? See, those are subsequent questions to what do you believe? Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's heart plans his ways, but God directs his steps. Yeah, my plan was I'm going to serve God. How are you going to do it? I'm just going to get up every day and wing it. No, you know what? God's direction was Bible school. Did I want it to go? Heck no. It was a hard pass on that. They'd end up going, why? Because God's direction. See, that's why if you come to me and you're like, Pastor, I need you to pray for me. I need some advice. I need some counsel. Man, I need some direction. I'm not going to give you direction. I'm not taking responsibility for your direction because the Bible specifically says God directs your ways. God's going to bring direction no matter what, whether you like it or not. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. Listen, you've got through good Black Friday. Be content with things as you have. For he himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will always be with you and I will always resource you. God's promise in your life is he's always going to resource you. And it brings us to number three. Pivotal, invest in yourself. And I'm not talking about singing lessons. And I'm not talking about higher education. All that stuff's great. This is truly the design of God's plan for our lives. It's not the world's way of investing, but God's way of doing it. The whole principle, listen, of sowing and reaping, of giving and receiving is based upon our enriched lives. That's what it's all based upon. See, so where the rubber meets the road is there's five or six simple things. Number one is you got to give your life to Jesus. That's number one. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You have to give your life. You have to give your life to him. Whatever stature you are, whatever width, whatever depth, whatever breadth, whatever your past is, your present is, your future is, you have to give that all to Jesus. He has to be the Lord of your life. And now we become new creatures in Christ. Verse 18 says, now all things are of God. If I would have translated this verse, these verses, 17 would have included, now all things are of God. And then there would have been a break with verse 18. But they didn't do it that way, and I can live with it and move on. Who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. God's reconciling people right now because we're taking responsibility and accountability for the ministry of reconciliation. Okay? That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. That is, now We're all ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. It doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter your income. It doesn't matter the house you live in. It doesn't matter the side of the tracks you were born on. It doesn't matter your education. God has reconciled you to himself. You're right with God. God's redeemed you. So number one, the first thing is you got to give your life to Jesus. The second thing, you have to get in the Word and live your life there. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you'll meditate in it day and night that you may observe according to do all that's written in it. For then, listen, not God, but you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. See, God's given us a pattern of life to be, because we're reconciled unto him, to be stewards now of all the riches of the earth. He hasn't given it to Wall Street. He hasn't given it to the billionaires. He hasn't given it. Man, the Bible says the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. Why? Because he's made us to be stewards. We just don't, we're thinking that being poor still factors into it. We're thinking that it's just our lot in life. Let me tell you what true prosperity is, peace. Let me tell you what poverty is, anxiety and worry and regret and fret. Depression, that's poverty. Man, we get a poverty mindset, that's what you're gonna have. You have a prosperous mindset, you're gonna have peace. It's gonna go beyond your understanding. It's gonna guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. How in the world did Sandy and I live the way we lived and made that much money? The year we started this church, I had $7,000 of taxable income, and I wasn't broke and I wasn't poor, and we had two kids. I'm telling you, I'm a living testament that if I could do it, anybody could do it. We've never bounced a check. We've never been late in a payment. We've never missed out on anything. I'm not thinking I've missed anything. Because it's not about that. It's not about the mammon of money, the spirit of the world. I don't think like the world thinks. Man, I think like John 10:10, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundant. I've got a more than enough mindset, so I live a more than enough lifestyle. Are you listening to me at all? This is financially strong right here. It's not what your bank account says. It's not what your income statement is. We have to get in the Word and live life there. The third one is we receive the Holy Spirit. But you shall receive power, Acts 1:8, when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Acts 19 is huge. Because the writer of Acts breaks it down into easy bite-sized pieces about receiving the Holy Spirit. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples, some followers of Jesus. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, we've not so much heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? And they said, John's baptism. And verse 4, Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to people that they should believe on him who is to come after him, that is Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. And when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they began to speak with other tongues, and the number of them were 12. There was a baptism of repentance. You have to change your mindset. There's a baptism of Jesus. We're sons now. We're in the family. And there's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now we're empowered to live this life that God's given us. See, the power of the Holy Spirit is to be witnesses of victory, is to be witnesses of triumph, is to be witnesses of health. Oh, cancer tries to come on you? Well, let me tell you something. The prognosis shifts from the scientific prognosis to the heavenly prognosis. The Bible says, no evil shall befall you, nor any plague come near where you live. No weapon formed against you can ever prosper. The Bible says that God sent his word and healed us and delivered us of all of our destructions. I'm telling you, the principles of God, the promises of God pile up in our life to where we are undefeatable. Then we have to go to the next one. We have to live our life to praise his name. So we have to give our life to Jesus. We have to get in the Word and live there. We have to receive the Holy Spirit. And then we've got to praise His name. And this is huge. How your nonverbal is. How your attitude at work is. How you communicate to people. How you value people. I'll tell you, there's only two things. You want, man, people want to be to be known and needed. You know what that does? It validates, it values them. Man, you want influence? Validate people. Value people. Psalm 34 says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from my fears." With this, praise his name. And then it gets to the clincher. We tithe and give. Malachi 3:10 says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord, if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there won't be room enough for you to receive it." See, all of this causes life to reach an extraordinary level. See, it's not just all about the tithe. It's not about the math. It's not about the science of this. See, the tithe isn't just 10%. It's our first. God, I'm giving you my first. God, I'm thinking of you first. I'll tell you what's interesting is all these psychologists coming out now and saying, man, don't sleep in the same room you keep your cell phone. You're gonna wake up in the middle of the night. You're gonna wake up and have to look at it the first thing in the morning. Let me just tell you, what I did is I kind of pacified this situation in my life because I thought, okay, my phone is my alarm, and I trust that alarm more than I trust any alarm clocks I've ever had. Okay, I could set that alarm on that phone, and it's absolutely sure. Daylight savings time happens, it changes on its own. I don't have to give it any thought. The only thought I give is when I go to the coffee maker in the kitchen and I'm like, oh dear God, it's an hour later or it's an hour earlier. Oh, wait a second, it's daylight savings time. What's the real time? So I go to my phone. See, so the idea is for me, what I did is I've got a couple different email lists that I've subscribed to that send a scripture every day or a devotion every day or a word for the day every day. And I'm thinking, okay, here's what I'll do. I'll keep my phone there and it's my alarm clock. And what I'm going to do is I'm gonna open up that one first. And God, see, I'm putting you first. And all this other stuff, I'm going to look at it after I look at your word. And you know what? I just started thinking about it. I started thinking, are you the freaking biggest weakling coward in the world? That's my inner thoughts about that. And I'm thinking, probably not the biggest, but I think I am one. So I'm not going to. I'm either disciplining myself not to look at that phone and putting God first in my life. Because see, that's the key. Your finances, you put God first. Your marriage, you put God first. I'm telling you, determine, make a commitment and covenant with God today to put him first. Let me tell you what you will have: financial strength, because this is the kingdom of God. It's not about your income. It's not about your credit score. For real? For real, we're living in a system that the more credit cards you have, the better your credit score is. And wait, that's validating me? Well, our kids are going out of college and they've got to build a credit score, so they need to get a credit card. What if they never have a need for a credit card? Why would they get one? See, everything in the world is that direction. Man, there's even digital money now on the internet. And I think we're just making it easy for drug dealers and cartels and things to be able to move money around because there's no cash they have to carry. Man, the Mexican cartels, they had such a hard time warehousing the money that they had. And now they don't have to. See, I look at it, that this mammon thing is for real. This mammon thing is big. The only way to break the power of the spirit of the world off our money is to tithe, is to put God first. That's the only way. And God says, I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you're unable to receive. That's a reward. And then you know what he said? I'll rebuke the devourer from the midst of you. and there's pregnant girls in here, man, if you've made covenant with God, guess what? That baby's blessed, because the Bible says your fruit won't fall immature from the vine. My fruit are my children. That's where my fruit starts. There's more fruit in my life than that, but that's where it starts. We'll be called a delightful land. Man, what this, what the firepower of this church, if we all just committed to tithe, it's, and I'm not talking about financially. I mean, we've already, it's not even December, and we've already, we're bumping up to $2 million in giving in the church to missions, outreach, and evangelism. I remember the first time we hit $500,000. I remember when it hit $1 million. I'm like, oh my gosh, how are we going to sustain this? And now just a few years later, it's $2 million. Now I'm thinking, man, how do we get to 10? Do you understand? If everybody tithed here, we could hit $1 million. We could hit $100 million in missions and outreach and evangelism. It's not about money. It's about purpose. It's about fulfillment, and it's about wealth. You can have a lot of money and not be wealthy. You can have huge income, and your lifestyle just eat it up. Man, I wanna pastor you, and it feels like I'm talking to you like a dad. I don't know. See, the problem I have, and I want to close the service, but I don't know who talks to you like this. What's your plan? Because the biggest thing to me is, can you execute the plan? Because it's not about the plan, it's about the execution. What's my plan? I'm going to pay my house off this year, really? What do you owe? I owe $150,000 on it, really? You got like 35 days left. I'm not sure that's a great plan, because I'm not sure you can execute it. No, I'm going to walk out to my mailbox and there's going to be a $150,000 check in that mailbox. Or I'm going to have some distant cousin that's going to, and I'm going to inherit it from. It's like, no, you got to have a plan that you can execute, and then you just execute the living fire out of it. Then you just kill it and you crush it every day. Because what's this about? It's about where you are and where you want to be and us giving you a direct path to it. Man, I'm looking at very successful people in this church that just charted a direct path to where they wanted to be. Got up every day and got after it. Got to be in the Word every day. Got to give your life to Jesus every day. Got to wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to be a man of God today. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above only and never beneath. Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.